2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. We'll start here. Everybody knows this verse. You've been coming here any length of time. I know you already know this verse. Most of you do. But some of us still need to be reminded of some things. And I'm going to have to send this projector back. I don't know what's wrong with it, but I had everybody laid out on this thing. Spent all afternoon doing that. It won't work. So I brought this thing out. We'll see how that works. 2 Timothy chapter 2. A few weeks and nights ago, before we got into the Christmas season, I guess you could say, I started dealing with some things, dealing with Christmas and the seed of woman, things like that. I had the birth of Christ and the two lines of, you know, Mary and Joseph and things. And before we did that, I did an overview of the Old Testament. We went through all the Old Testament. I don't know how many of you were here, but we did an overview of the Old Testament. We went through Genesis all the way to Malachi. We divided it up, showed you how it worked, goes where, and things of that nature. Tonight, I want to do an overview of the New Testament. I'm going to give you an overview of the New Testament. The New Testament consists of 27 books, and the New Testament starts out in Matthew, goes all the way to the book of Revelation. Matthew writes the book of Matthew, and Revelation is written by a fellow by the name of John on the Isle of Patmos. And it covers an area about 3,000 years, 3,000 year period. Say, preacher, where did you get that? Well, it was 2,000 years between when Jesus died and went up till now, roughly thereabout. And then there's coming a day when there'll be 1,000 year millennial reign, and it covers in the book of Revelation there, and it covers a span of about 3,000 years, give or take a little. And so that's what we're dealing with tonight. We want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and look at this verse. And I don't know if you got it memorized or not, but you ought to get this one memorized. Because the first word is very important. Study, to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a right way to divide it, there's a wrong way to divide it. And that first word is study. You know why? There's a lot of people don't know. They go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know why they don't know how to get to heaven? Because they don't study. You know why some people believe that baptism is going to wash their sins away and get them into heaven? Because people don't study. You know why that a lot of people go to church on Saturday? Some people there in Iresburg go to church on Saturday instead of going to church on Sunday. On the first day of the week, they go on Saturday. You know why? Because people don't study. Amen. You want to study the Bible. Anytime you're going to take a new job, you say, hey, what do you want me to do? Is there a handbook that I need to study to know my job better? Yeah. What is that handbook? What I need to know to operate in this facility here? How's it going to work? I need to know. Give me a manual. Give me something, an owner's manual. Give me something to follow. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, of all spiritual matters, God has given us a manual. It's called the Bible. And if we don't study it, we're going to be spiritually, a lot of spiritually ignorant people.
Right.
Now, ignorance is not a bad word. I mean, I'm just sort of like, there's a lot of things I'm ignorant of. I'm ignorant on carpentry. I'm ignorant on fixing appliances. I'm ignorant on laying carpet. I'm ignorant on a lot of stuff. I can do some things, but I'm ignorant a lot of areas. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, there's one reason to be ignorant on purpose, and then some people can't help it.
Right.
But we have no excuse, because we have a Bible, and we can read, and we can study, to show ourselves approved, and to know right from wrong.
Right.
Well, in the New Testament, you have 27 books, like I already talked about. I will probably move down here. 27 books. It starts out in Matthew. It starts with the birth of Christ. I want to hold this real quick because we've got all the time here a little bit. It starts with the book of Matthew. And Matthew, all chapter 1 and so on, deals with the birth of Jesus Christ. We just come through all of that. Matthew, Mark, if you don't know the books of the Bible, you'll know this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I wrote them this way on purpose because Matthew, they're not in the end, they're parallel, or excuse me, they're over top one another. Mark deals with some of the same events that happened in Matthew. Luke deals with some of the same. You'll find the birth in Luke and Matthew. Jesus was born twice, he's only born once, but it's recorded twice. You understand? Jesus' death was recorded all four places. He didn't die four times, he died once, but it's recorded four different times. If you look at a person, you have to look at them from the front. You can get a different perspective when you look at them from the side. You can see how big their nose is when you look at them from the side.
Yeah.
And you go around behind it. We won't discuss that. You get four different viewpoints when you look at a person. Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wants you to look at Jesus Christ all four quarters. Matthew deals with him as a king. Mark deals with him as a servant. Luke deals with him as a son of man. And John deals with him as a son of God. Four different views there. And here's what I want to show you. In the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, look at the emphasis. Look at Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. And let's look at the emphasis. Of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter number 1. Everybody wants to know why Jesus came. Well, here's one reason he came. And here's the main reason he came in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now watch. Now, I'm going to try to give you something that's the can. And I know probably most of you probably worked all day long when it's raining, making you sleepy when it's raining. Don't y'all? And so Luke chapter number 1, look at verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. So call his name Jesus. Everybody knows who that is. That's Jesus. Now verse 32, when he's born, what's he going to be doing? Well, he's going to be great. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the what? Throne of his father, David. Alright, what's he going to do? Verse 33. He shall reign over the house of Jacob, that's the nation of Israel, forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. So you say, preacher, what's the emphasis of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Well, I want to tell you what the emphasis is. The emphasis is a king with a kingdom. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are writing about Jesus Christ coming to this earth to be king over the whole world. The wise men came and said, hey, we're looking for him that is born king of the Jews. That's found in Matthew chapter number 2. We're looking for the one that's born king of the Jews. We're looking for a king.
Right. Right.
We want to usher in the kingdom, if you will. Now, I want you to look at this. Look at Matthew chapter number 3. Look here real quick. Matthew 3. We won't have to hurry. Matthew 3. Now, this is what we do usually on Wednesday nights. We try to study a little bit. Matthew 3, let's look at you. Verse number 1. John the Baptist showed up on the scene very early in Matthew 3. Ready? In those days came John the Baptist. Now, he was a Baptist like we're a Baptist. He was John the Baptist. The only reason he was called John, he was John the Baptist. They called him the Baptist. He didn't start the Baptist church. John didn't start the Baptist church. I get tickled when they think he started the Baptist church. I don't really get tickled. Preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and this is what he was preaching. Watch verse number 2. Say, repent ye, for what? Kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's the kingdom of heaven? What's at hand? What is in reach? It's at hand. It's at your hand. It's within reach. The kingdom of heaven is within reach. The kingdom is right here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is right there. Within their reach, they're pushing for the kingdom. They want to overthrow Caesar. They want to put Jesus Christ up on the throne, and he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. That's what the Old Testament prophet said. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are talking about that. Now Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 17. John the Baptist preached the kingdom of heaven. Watch verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach. Well, what was Jesus preaching? Well, Jesus was preaching, repent for what? Kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's looking for a kingdom. He's preaching for a kingdom. Look at verse 23. And Jesus went all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So preacher, what's the gospel? That's good news, good tidings. Good news of the kingdom. Who is it? Hey, the good news of the kingdom is this. Jesus Christ has been born. He's King of the Jews. Here he is. He's the Messiah. He's been healing the sick. He's been raising the dead. He's the one we've been looking for. So let's go ahead and put him on the throne. Here he is. Let's go and make him king, and let's usher in the kingdom. That's what they want to do. That's what he's preaching, gospel of the kingdom. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That shows you what's connected with the gospel of the kingdom. It's healing, signs and wonders, sickness, healing and sickness.
Right.
It's connected with the kingdom. That's what's connected with the kingdom. You say, preacher, why are they doing all that around us today? It's because, yes, they're trying to usher in the kingdom, I guess. I don't know. All of the different things. Like they've got some spiritual truths misplaced.
Right.
They got it out of the Bible, but they misplaced it somewhere. And they put it in the wrong mailbox. Well, I want you to look at this. Look at Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 35. Matthew 9 and 35. Let's see what that says. Basically the same thing. 9 and 35. Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. When he saw the multitude, he was moved compassion and so on. Notice what he was preaching. Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I'm going to put this thing short just a little bit. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the rest of the disciples were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They were trying to bring in the kingdom. They were trying to bring in the millennial reign of Christ. That's what they were trying to do. So that's why in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you won't see a lot of references to the church. Why? Because the emphasis is on the kingdom. Well, now let me show you this verse. Let me show you this verse. They're trying to usher in the kingdom. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed. It ain't the Lord's prayer.
Right.
It wasn't his prayer, it's the model prayer. He's trying to teach them how to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's what he talks about. Matthew 13, he gives kingdom parables, talking about ushering in the kingdom. Jesus Christ coming, the second coming. You ever wonder why you don't see the rapture in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? He's not mentioned.
Right.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or excuse me, rapture is not mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Because the emphasis is on the kingdom.
Right.
Emphasis is on the second coming. Why? Now, I'm going to rush through this real quick and watch this. The church, as you notice on this board, the church ain't on here yet. Why? It was a mystery and hidden until, here we are, watch this. I want you to look at John 19 real quick. John 19, we're going to carry this, we're just going to go a little further. John 19. Jesus is fixing to be crucified. What am I going to fix the truth about? Well, they didn't want him as king. They didn't want him as king. Now watch, John 19, in verse number 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he said unto the Jews, behold, your king. Here he is. Here's your king right here. Jesus Christ. Here's your king. But they cried out, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! I said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but who? Uh-oh. You know what happened? Something else is added on our board. Now watch this. If you're going to crucify the fellow that's going to bring in the kingdom, right, are you watching? You ready? If you're going to crucify and kill the man that's going to bring in the kingdom, guess what? You're going to have to postpone the kingdom. If you ain't gonna die on the cross, you're gonna have to push it on down a little further. Because they ain't gonna come in right there if you can crucify the fellow that's gonna bring it in.
Right.
So that thing is now pushed out here. And what happens? Okay, let me show you. This is what happens. We have an old king with Caesar, crucified. Him. We got no need for him. Well, how many of you know, here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the law is an emphasis. The law. The Ten Commandments, the law. The law and the prophets were until John. That's what the Bible said. Now, and then, after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell me what the next book is. The book of Acts. Well, you all will believe the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. And what this will do is this thing will connect law and grace. The book of Acts starts out in the first part of the book of Acts real, very much Jewish. Peter is the main character. Peter, Acts chapter number 2, Peter's the main character. Acts 2, he's the one that preaches the message behind the pulpit. He's the one that preaches on the day of Pentecost and all that kind of stuff. Acts 2, 30, and he's all this. And he's the one. Acts 3, 19, Acts chapter 1, the disciples, they ask, hey, is it time to restore the kingdom? Jesus says, no, that's sort of been postponed a little bit. We're going to bring in some more folks. So Acts is going to connect law and grace. It's a transition. How do you know what a transition is? They were telling me today, I was listening to Stephen Fisher last night on the talk radio, and he was talking about a transition team. The new governor that we just elected, he's got a transition team. He's transitioning from Governor Bredesen over to the new administration. And it takes a transition team several months to get this thing transferred from the old administration into the new one. You with me? So the book of Acts is the transition team. The transition team comes on the scene and says, hey, we're going to transfer this thing from law to grace. You know what the time you get Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Peter. Acts 7, Stephen preaches. They touch on him, and we don't want to do that. We don't like it. That's what kind of preaching. Acts 7, they told him. Acts chapter number 8. You'll believe that in Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8, some Samaritans get saved. You know what Samaritans are? Samaritans are half Jew, half Gentile in the same body. Jew and Gentile in the same body. Samaritans are in Acts chapter number 8, half Samaritans, half Jew, half Gentile, same body.
Right.
And then Acts chapter number 9, guess what? A fellow was saved by the name of Saul, and he changed his name to Paul, and guess what he did? Y'all ain't believe what he did. He wrote 13 books. Romans through Philemon. 13 books of the New Testament.
Right.
And you are looking down, bring in the kingdom. It didn't work. They crucified the fellow to go bring it in. Acts says, okay, let's transfer it. Transition from law. It starts out very law, first part of the back, and then it tapers off, and then Paul becomes the main character.
Right. Yeah.
Acts 16, Paul and Silas. Peter's nowhere to be found, Paul and Silas in jail, and Philippians Taylor said, sir, what must the dude be saved? He said, what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Hey, y'all know something? We're not looking for a king. You better be looking for a savior. In this day, we're looking for a savior. And his name is Christ the Lord.
Here, as you are looking, John, they were looking for a king to bring in a kingdom. On this side of the cross, Romans and Philemon, we're looking for a Savior to place our faith and trust in. And if you will trust in Him, believe on Him, He'll wash away your sin through the blood of Christ and place you into the body, no matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, bond or free. He'll make anybody who wants to get saved, make sure that what nationality you are, He'll place you into the same body. Ain't that good? This might be a little heavy, but over there in Mark chapter number 10, remember that woman comes in, she's wanting to, the Lord bless her. Over in Matthew, he says this, he says, go not, go not on the way of Gentiles. But go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's an act. Don't go to Gentiles. Have you ever wondered that verse? Wonder why Matthew said that. That sounds mean. They don't like us. No, they didn't. They didn't like Gentiles. They like it. Jesus said, go not the way of Gentiles. You don't like that? He said, go to all sheep and have do. You don't like? Because we're going to bring a kingdom. We're not going to bring a kingdom in with a bunch of Gentiles. We're going to bring it in with a bunch of Jews.
Right.
On this side of the cross, you're not going to believe a thing about this thing. Romans chapter 10, look at this. Real quick. It's just going to do it. Romans 10, look, real quick. Now, write that down, Matthew 10, verse number 5. Jesus said, go not the way of Gentiles. Don't even go not the way at all. We're not worried with them right now.
Right.
We're trying to get a bunch of Jews together so we can usher in the kingdom. In Matthew. Alright? Here's where we're told right as I and I become thee. Where does it say the term to? Romans, chapter number 1. 10, where are we at? We're in the grace age, we're in the church age, Paul's right in Romans. What? I bet you're going to say something different than Jesus said in Matthew 10. I bet I'll say something different. Watch it. Look at verse number 12. I got to get Romans 10 first. Oh, verse number 11. I can't believe that now. Well, the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12 says, watch, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same word of wrong is reaching the law, they call on him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
What? You look at your Bible. If you ever wonder why Jesus said that, well, that's why he said it in Matthew 10. Don't go to the Gentiles. Go to the Jews. Why? The emphasis is bringing in kingdom. Well, guess what? In Rome, the kingdom's been postponed. There's a new program in town. We've had a transition from law to grace. And Jesus says, hey, Paul says there is no difference now. Jew, Gentile makes no difference. They're all the same body now. And anybody who wants to ask Jesus Christ to come to heart, whosoever should come home in Lord, shall be saved. When you get ready to reach somebody to the Lord today, what are we thinking? We call it the what? The Romans Road. I wonder why we go to Romans. Why? Up Romans 3:10. There's unrighteous in lot 1. 3:23. Amen. 5:12. 10:19. Romans. Why? Get people saved. Romans 10:13. Saved. By the blood of the Lamb. I do not say, when I want, if somebody comes down the altar, I know sin, I think Ricky gets me that. Somebody comes down the altar on an invitation time. If you want, Brother Gerald, you say, I'd be foolish to say, all right, let me show you what Matthew 10, verse 10.
Amen.
Jesus said right here, don't go the way of Gentiles, but just go with you. And whoever comes down to get saved, what? tonight. What are I thinking? I think in Romans 10:13.
Yeah, right.
You believe it right there? You believe you're a sinner?
Yep.
You believe that you can't save yourself?
I sure can't save myself.
Do you believe Jesus is the only way to get there?
I sure do.
Well, then the Bible says right here, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you a whosoever?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. All right. Ask the Lord to make your heart saved.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm not going to ask you and ask you for you. You ask me saved.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I do. Amen. Then guess what? I'm trying to hurry. Watch this. Guess what? What happened at the end of the grace period, if you will? Now, when I say that, grace runs all through life. All right? Don't take it wrong way. Rapture. I know we have some business here. But the church got today, when the Lord comes to send to heaven with a shout. If you won't believe me, that's found at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The rapture is recorded in 1 Thessalonians. Why? Because it deals with the church. Rapture is not mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. That's not the emphasis. The emphasis is the kingdom. It's been pushed out on us. It was at hand. It was within reach of people. But it's been pushed out. Y'all won't say crucified the Lord. That's right. What happened? Somebody said, after Philemon. Next book. Anybody know what happened after the rapture? Tribulation. It lasts for 7 years. You ever thought about this? What parts of the Bible is somebody going to read and really going to be a help to them if they miss the rapture? Look, if you're sitting in this room right now, if you get saved, you won't miss the rapture.
Amen.
If you're going to stay here and say, I don't want the preacher, you say, I don't want that, I ain't going to. You go on out the door, guess what? When the Lord does come, you still will be left behind and we'll be gone.
Right.
And you'll say, well, what do I do now? Look, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Romans 2, Philemon, Paul writes to Gentile churches. To the church at Rome, to the church at Philippi, to the church at Corinth, to the church at Thessalonica, to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Philippi, to the church at Colossae. You with me? After Philemon, what in a Hebrew? It goes back to Jewishness. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jewishness. The kingdom, but the kingdom's been pushed back. To make room for who? The kingdom's been pushed out to make room for me. To get in. After the rapture, guess what? The Lord says, all right, we're going to go back to these Hebrews, man. We're going to start calling these Hebrews again. Now, I know what some of you think. You think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews? I know who wrote the book of Hebrews. I know who wrote the book of Hebrews. That's easy. Don't you know that Paul put his name on every book that he wrote? Look at Hebrews chapter 1. I won't tell you who wrote the book of Hebrews. The person that writes it always signs. Rich, you've had enough? You've had enough. You're tapping out. I appreciate you. We just have love now. Hebrews chapter 1, what's the first word? That's who wrote. I know some of you didn't like that answer. Hebrews. Jews. What's the tribulation we'll be dealing with? Jews. Watch. Look. Turn to James chapter 1.
13 chapter 1. Look at this. We already know Hebrews is the Jews. Hebrews is going to be dealing with, look, if a person misses the rapture, Hebrews will help them through the first 3.5 years. James will help them the last 3.5 years. That's what we need to be reading. Look, Romans 10:13 ain't going to help somebody after rapture took place. Rapture takes place, you come down here and I mean, say, Lord, save me, Lord, save me, Lord, save me, all you want to. James chapter 1. Ready? I wonder who James is written to. Let's just see about the mailbox. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the who? 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. 12 tribes of who? Jews, the nation of Israel. Guess what? The tribulation, they scattered everywhere. They're fleeing from the mark of the beast. They're scattered everywhere. James is going to help them get back over. He said, Bridget, you mean people we don't want to read James? Oh, no. James. Hey, James, you got some bunch of good stuff in you. Practical stuff, folks. Practical. We're called doctrine tonight. Practical stuff, man. You can take practical stuff out of everywhere. You know what I mean? So we're talking about doctrine. Here's what happens now. I'm finishing walk. I'm finishing. After tribulation, this is what happens. Satan's coming. Lord's coming. He's going to get on a white horse. The bride, the church. We're going to be with him, a white horse. We're going to come back. Guess what he's coming to do? Set up a for 1,000 years. It was supposed to be back here. They crucified him. Which that's what he's supposed to have. He had to die.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, he had to die to save the whole world. Well, that pushed that kingdom program all the way back. That made room for you and me.
Yeah.
That's why Matthew didn't know nothing about Romans 2 by Lincoln, didn't know nothing about Paul. I know that's incorrect, but he gets your attention. Matthew didn't know nothing about church. He didn't know nothing about no grace.
Right.
He didn't know about no death, burial, and resurrection.
Right.
When did we find out about the death, burial, and resurrection? Romans 2 by Lincoln. That's when we found out that. Hebrews through Revelation will take you from the tribulation. Revelation takes you from the tribulation. Second coming deals with all of them through the king. Prophecy. What does the book of Revelation do? Well, the prophecy. Prophecy. Why? You're going to talk about the kingdom, second coming, tribulation, Armageddon, the valley of Megiddo, all right there. Marriage of the Lamb, it can happen up here. Look, there's an overview of the New Testament. Overview of the New Testament. And some of that stuff, we just have to. We'll do something we've done. We won't have time for this. But any question, and don't be shy. This is what happens. We get done, we dismiss, we go, let me ask you a question. And it's a question that would benefit everybody. Oh, that's a good question. By the way, what was the question? Unless you ask me something over here. That's not a question. What's the main emphasis today? Get saved. Get saved. Why? So you can get unshackled and rest. If you worry about that, you ain't got to worry about tribulation. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to do half of it. I'm not going to go through any of it. Mid-thread, post-thread, whatever, we ain't going to do none of it. If you say it, go on. Then you come back to it. We're going to go up and we come back.
That? If people believe that, believe the book.